And welcome to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Yes, we dare to go there and talk about all things menopause. And, oh, I should be saying good morning, New York, good afternoon to the UK, and good evening if you're in India. And we have two firsts today. The first is that I have two people in the virtual recording studio today. And the second first is that I have my first hot man in the Hot Women Rock studio. So it's a big welcome to Tamara Green and David Dashinger. Tamara, I always want to say your name very English girl as Tamara. And it was only recently that I realized I should be saying Tamara. So
either way is fine with me. It works.
I'll be coming back to you guys shortly, but first, normally at this stage, I go through what's in the media this week, but I am often asked about what books women can read that will be relevant to menopause, and there are a lot to choose from. But the first thing I'd say is whoever has authored the book will have their own biases. So it's good to read a range of books. So some authors will be biased towards a medical approach, taking HRT, taking antidepressants. Other authors will be very much wanting to do the complementary approach or the natural health approach. So it's a really good idea to balance out your reading because you will find convincing arguments both ways. I will tell you where I stand when I get to my book. But first of all, so let's have a look at some of the books. So the first one that I read was a book called Natural Solutions to Menopause by Marilyn Glenville. Now, she's an English writer. She is a nutritionist. She trains people at the Institute of Nutrition. And so this book is heavily into the nutrition side, but she does go through a 12-step hormone balancing diet. She talks in detail about hot flushes, night sweats, weight gain. She talks about her views on HRT and she gives simple steps to good energy levels. Now, I found it a really good book to read. It's quite technical, but there's lots of really good information on it. She's written a lot of other books and she has her own website where she sells vitamins and food supplements. And there's lots of good blogs on there. So Marilyn Glenville is one to watch. The second one, which comes from a slightly different angle and is a more recent book, is the Menopause Manifesto, Own Your Health with Facts and Feminism by Dr. Jen Gunter. So that's an American author. And she says the only thing predictable about menopause is its unpredictability. And this is so true that every woman's experience of it is unique to her. So some women, just as when you were teenagers, you know, some of your friends may have gone through puberty. They might have had one spot on their face and that was it. You know, it was all really simple. Others went through years of having acne, mood swings, all sorts of terrible stuff happening. It's the same thing at menopause. Some women will tell you they didn't have a symptom, they glided through it. Others will have any of the 23 recognised symptoms of menopause. So what Jen Gunter is saying is factor in widespread misinformation. Good job I started with my earlier warning. A lack of research and the culture of shame around women's bodies. And it's no wonder women are unsure what to expect during the menopause transition and beyond. So, yeah, for a lot of women don't do any research before menopause. They think, oh, I'll be one of the lucky ones. And then partway through, they're feeling tired and they don't know whether this is a symptom and not a symptom. And that's when they start using Dr. Google and finding all sorts of stuff. And she says menopause is not a disease, it's a planned change like puberty. And just like puberty, we should be educated on what's to come years in advance, absolutely, rather than the current practice of leaving people on their own with bothersome symptoms and too much conflicting information. Knowing what's happening and why and what to do about it is both empowering and reassuring. So she's quite a humorous writer, and she does have a TED Talk. If you're a TED fan, go to TED.com and either type in Jen Gunter or type in menopause, and her talk will come up. It's only a short one. Don't think you're like giving away an hour of your life. It's only about 12 minutes long. It's fast and furious, and it's quite a good fun one. So her book was The Menopause Manifesto. Now, another author who comes from a completely different direction is Suzanne Summers. Now, she is a celebrity. There are lots of celebrity menopause books, and most of them are based on what that celebrity experienced at menopause, as you would expect. So they have their biases about what worked for them and what didn't work for them. And, you know, they may have been able to go to the gym and train for 2 hours a day in a way that you couldn't. Anyway, but the reason I'm talking about this one is that she talks about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. And I know a lot of women get interested in this. Now, she is obviously a big fan, so balance it out against other things that you read about it. But she does also talk about her experience of burnout and stress, what that felt like, how she got over that in this book. So I think it's quite useful from that point of view. And she talks about how our bodies transition hormonally from puberty through perimenopause. So, an interesting book, as I say, with all of these, weigh them up. Another one that I found the year before last is Grow Your Own HRT. Sprout hormone-rich greens in only 2 minutes a day. And that book is by Sally Duffel. That's D-U-F-F-E-N-N-L. Now, when I'm talking to women, either in groups or one-to-one about menopause symptoms, I'm always talking about nutrition and the foods that we can eat that are very rich in plant estrogens. So some plants have phytoestrogens in them. All that is plant estrogens. They're in, if I say gentle doses, we're not talking about replacing all the estrogen that you've lost during perimenopause, but as a support for your system. And one of the types of plants that have phytoestrogens in them are sprouted seeds, certain sprouted seeds. So this is a really nice book. She tells you which seeds to sprout, how to sprout them, how to harvest them. And there's a whole bunch of recipes in there for once you've got these sprouts, what to do with them. Strangely, I hadn't long bought this book when a friend for a birthday or Christmas sent me a seed sprouting kit. I don't think she knew that I just read this book. It must have just been one of those synchronicities, but I felt quite proud of myself because I suddenly had sprouted seeds to put on my salads every day. So that was really interesting. She also has done her own case studies. Another book coming from a different angle is The Estrogen Fix, The Breakthrough Guide to Being Healthy, Energized and Hormonally Balanced, and it's by Dr. Mesh Seibel. That's S-E-I-B-E-L. So he is based in Boston. I've interviewed him in another context, and he's very funny. But he started out his career as a fertility doctor, and then his wife developed, well, she didn't develop cancer. She found out she'd got the BRCA gene and decided to have a hysterectomy. And she was quite young at the time, and she was pretty keen to take some estrogen to support her system. But it was just at the time that the World Health Initiative report came out in 2001, and suddenly nobody wanted to prescribe estrogen. And Dr. Mesh pivoted in his career. Before everybody did pivoting, he pivoted to find out more about what was going on at menopause, whether estrogen was safe, the dosages, where you got it from, etc. And now he really is an expert in menopause and in hormone replacement therapy. What I love about him, apart from his sense of humor, is that he also talks about nutrition, exercise, music, dancing. He's written books on so many different things. But The Estrogen Fix is very helpful if you're considering hormone replacement therapy and you want to read something knowledgeable about it. My next book kind of comes out of nowhere is Me and My Menopausal Vagina. I don't mean that's, you know, it's not me and my, it's a book called Me and My Menopausal Vagina, Living with Vaginal Atrophy by Jane Lewis. Now, this has got the best cover. Go and have a look at it on Amazon. It's a rocket ice lolly. What do you call ice lollies in America? Ice lollies?
Ice pop, I guess you would call it.
Ice pop, okay. Yeah. So a rocket-shaped ice pop with all the different colours on it, and that is her metaphor for her menopausal vagina. You just want it now, don't you? So the blurb for this one is One Woman's Journey of Menopause and Vaginal Atrophy. I know, it doesn't sound fun, does it? But she is a very humorous writer. Written in collaboration with her daughter in a tongue-in-cheek way to help break taboos of vaginal atrophy. It's informative, serious, tear-jerking, and guaranteed to make you laugh. Through this book, you'll learn the hidden secrets of menopause aimed to help you during your own experience informing women, men, and health professionals of all ages. So, yeah. The changes in our hormones affect our vaginas. There you go. I said we would talk about everything menopause. And if you want to know more about it, one of the reviews of this book is, if you have a vagina, know or love somebody with a vagina, you need to read this book. And that is by Diane Dansbrink, the menopause counsellor. So we can't say fairer than that. The next book, something completely different, is I Heart Me. So if you imagine the cover has got a heart on it, so it's like I Love Me, The Science of Self-Love by Dr. David Hamilton. Now, I chose this because a lot of women lose their self-love at menopause, how they look, how they feel. And Dr. David Hamilton is one of the sweetest people you'd meet in the world. He's Scottish. He sounds like Billy Connolly, if you know Billy Connolly, but he's a proper research scientist and he writes a lot about mind-body connection, why kindness is good for us. And despite being the sweetest guy on the planet, he found out he didn't love himself. And so he wrote this book. So I really recommend that. My final book I'm going to recommend is my own book, Hot Women Cool Solutions. I, of course, have no biases. I just wanted women to know all the things that they could do at menopause. It started out as a mind-body book because I am a hypnotherapist and an NLP master practitioner. So it started off as being all mind-body. And then I thought, no, I'm not serving women in not telling them all the other options. So there's bits of homeopathy in there, there's Reiki, there's yoga. I touch on it all in a very readable sized book. And there are book bonuses that you can pick up. There are lots of visualizations and journals. So Hot Women, Cool Solutions by Pat Duckworth, the best read that I've recommended today. So, David and Tamara, it's big welcome to you. And before we go to the break, I just want to say, have you got any favourite books on your subjects? Have you got a favourite meditation or relaxation book?
I started a book last night by, well, that's one of our favourites, of course. This book was by a guest who was on our podcast, who's his whole mission is about compassion for people in healthcare to have more compassion with their patients. And that's what I started reading last night. It's fascinating. It's compelling. And it's very much needed in healthcare today.
Yeah. So what's that called?
I have to look at the title. It's something like Compassion Heals. Yeah. By Lee Tomlinson, mm-hmm. who's a dynamic speaker. And he's had quite a journey through his medical ordeal has been epic.
Yeah. Sounds great. Tamara, anything you want to add to it?
Yes. It's called Meditation for Daily Stress by Michelle. It's a man, so it's spelled M-I-C-H-E-L, Pascal, P-A-S-C-A-L. Highly recommend it. Excellent book. In fact, we'll even probably talk about some of the tips that he gives today.
There is our tease for the next quarter. So join us again after the break when I'll be talking to David and Tamara about their experience of going through cancer and how it became their guru. See you after the break.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. And if you are listening rather than watching us on Facebook, you just missed my feeble attempt at air guitar, but there's more weeks to come. So this week I'm welcoming into the studio David Dashinger and Tamara Green, and they're a married couple who are co-founders of the Loving Meditations app and the authors of a best-selling book, Live Calm with Cancer and Beyond. David's a Grammy-nominated composer, fire lieutenant, well, actually retired fire lieutenant.
Yes, by 6 weeks.
And stage 4 cancer survivor. Tamara is a psychotherapist, dating and relationship coach, and meditation facilitator who Elle magazine dubs the soul-centered relationship and meditation expert. That's why she's on the show. Their cancer journey transformed and inspired them to pay forward the benefits of mindfulness and meditation to those touched by major illness. I could read out more, but I just want to get down to it and talk to you guys because you've got such an amazing story to tell. You've known each other forever, haven't you?
Yes, and it gets better every year. And I'm not kidding when I say that. It really does. He just gets hotter every year.
Our air conditioning bill gets worse every year, too.
So, yeah, you've been together a long time and it has been not the most straightforward. Sometimes when you meet people who've been married for years and years, it seems uneventful, but yours has been full of events. We'll skip over the early part. If people want to know about that, they can read your book, Live Calm with Cancer, because it is in there, more of your story. Mm-hmm. Let's skip forward, though. David, working in the fire service, that must have been pretty stressful.
I'd say that it's got its moments of stress, and some of it's not so much what people typically think of. In a way, I think most of us, in most of the first responders I know, we can kind of keep a cool head in the midst of a, you know, pretty intense emergency, but it's some of the other stuff that goes on in between, the administrative problems that we run into, the politics. Sometimes it's, you know, lack of having resources that we need. And some of that, you know, coupled with sleep deprivation when you're not sleeping well on a 24-hour shift or you're working a 48-hour shift on overtime, some of that spills over into our family life, into our downtime. And so it becomes almost like, you know, you've had your foot on the stress accelerator on a constant basis, and it becomes, that's when it becomes a bit of a problem.
Yeah, the sleep deprivation is a big thing. I mean, working shift work, studies of people who work shift work show what effect that has on the body and on the brain function, emotion. So shift work is not great for maintaining a healthy body, is it?
No, it's not for a healthy body or for a healthy brain. And, you know, of course, most of us need to have optimal cognitive function most of the time. So you can, you know, you can see where it's kind of like you have to find ways to overcome these deficits, right? Whether it's stress, sleep, or some other kind of stressor that's going on in our life. And so we've spent a bunch of time looking into how can we, you know, what's the positive antidote to some of these challenges that we all face.
Yeah. And Tamara, it can't have been easy for you. I don't know. Do you get used to being married to somebody who you know faces danger a lot of the time?
I do. You know, David can tell you I'm not, I've never really been a worrier because I guess it's probably because I didn't really grow up with worrying parents, but also I just, my belief system is that it's, for me, it's not something I want to focus on. So I usually would send them off with a lot of love and, you know, safety, you know, kind of like a prayer. But he's also, we, in our house, our kids and I, we call him Mr. Safety. He's always looking at, okay, you know, if you're in a hotel room, is there a smoke detector? And what's the exit if there's an emergency? And, you know, and he lets us know. And so he's so diligent. And so you just feel calm around David because he's just got it handled. And thank goodness it's been pretty good. So I was even wondering if, you know, because basically I've been menopausal for the last 14 years, so maybe I'm one of the stressors.
Well, when it comes to temperature control, we do have our moments.
Yeah, you might need that fire hose. I have given talks in a fire station up in the northwest of England, and I thought how ironic it was standing next to one of those big fire trucks and all the water and everything talking about hot flashes. And someone would just say, oh, please, hose me down. So, Tamara, around the time that David was diagnosed with cancer, you were also dealing with your son being sick too.
Yeah, he was diagnosed with Lyme disease and immediately put on treatment. And then 4 days later, David gets diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So, yeah, it was a really intense week where everything that we, life as we knew it, just zoom, changed immediately, dramatically. So talk about stress. We definitely were dealing with quite a bit of stress and uncertainty and fear. All of that was coming up for us.
And David, had you ever had any experience of dealing with anybody in the family with cancer? Was this completely new for you to deal with this?
My grandfather got a serious colon cancer. He was in his 80s, but I was very close to him. And so watching his decline and also how the medical profession sort of failed him, I thought. It was very moving to me. And I think it left an indelible impression on me about what cancer was about, right? I mean, cancer is such a powerful word that I think most people have a a serious association with, you know, what does that mean? It kind of equates to like death to a lot of people. And in fact, it doesn't. Probably most cancers are, you know, more curable than not. But when you have that experience with a loved one you're close to and you see what happens as they decline and cancer really just, you know, takes over and hastens that decline, it leaves this, you know, leaves something of strong association with the word cancer.
Yeah, and the reason I really wanted to talk to you, apart from the fact that I love you anyway, but is, you know, women dealing with menopause are often really worried about breast cancer. They might even be dealing with breast cancer, or they might be dealing with an older member of the family who's going through cancer. So everything that you can tell us in your tips today will be so helpful. And of course, one of the women things that women experience at this stage of life is stress. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got busy lives. They might be dealing with older children getting ready to leave home. They're at the peak of their careers. They've got the older parents. They might have a partner who needs support. There's a lot going on at this midlife stage, isn't there? Lots of opportunities for stress. So I'm guessing your lives were pretty stressful then.
Ain't that the truth, Pat? Really? seriously, I'm identifying with everything that you're saying. I think I'm at the tail end of it. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. But you know, menopause. My two guys are sick. It's just me. Our daughter's in college already, so she's out of the house. It's just me holding down the fort, caregiving, and then I've got elderly parents, and then David's elderly parents. It was a lot. And it's so interesting. More and more I'm, you know, cause David and I work very deep in the world of cancer. I run a caregiver support group, and more they're finding a connection, between, things like breast cancer and caregiving, the stress of caregiving and that sandwich generation, right? Where you're in between. And so we really do want to impart some amazing, simple, using no effort tips that really help with de-stressing, because that's really the key. Stress is like a inflamed response, so it's cancer. We want to reduce that inflamed kind of response by reducing stress.
David, how did you maintain, or how did you change your mindset at this time when you just got that information?
Well, after a 2-week period of complete like denial, you know, anguish and sort of just, you know, being numb from the shock of it, when the dust started to settle, I was open to anything that seemed reasonable to me. I was going for traditional treatment, which was chemo, radiation, and ultimately surgery. But I like to look at, you know, the mind, body, and spirit as like they're all working together. It's all part of one, you know, one unit. And so while the doctors are perhaps treating the body part of it, then I wanted to make sure that I was also taking care of my spiritual needs and my emotional needs. And I was, like I said, I would do yoga. Movement was very important. Definitely keeping my diet as healthy as possible and detoxing from the serious, you know, chemicals that I was having put in my body. Also a lot of energy from the radiation. It's very intense energy that's not very friendly to your body. So dealing with the side effects of that, I said, anything I can do to give myself, you know, the edge, the positive boost, I'm willing to do that.
Fantastic. So come back and join us after the break when we'll be talking more about David and Tamara's top tips for dealing with stress and calming down. See you after the break.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time, on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, where I'm talking to David Dashinger and Tamara Green. And we've just been talking about David being diagnosed with cancer at the same time that David and Tamara's son had been diagnosed with Lyme's disease. So there's lots of stress going on. But this power couple are looking at how they can manage it and how they can help others through their journey. So if you haven't been meditating before and suddenly something like this happens, how receptive are you to doing meditation? I mean, had you been meditating before this, David? Did it come fairly easily to you?
Well, I did have a history doing transcendental meditation. I think in college I started doing it, did it for a while, stopped, and but throughout the years, I had picked up some other, you know, we can call them mindfulness practices or even affirmations. And those are things I started bringing with me into the infusion center, where you're sitting in a chair getting chemo for 8 hours at a time. I'm like, I've got to use this downtime to do something positive. And so whatever felt good to me, you know, it could have been like some kind of nice loops of positive statements. That's what I brought with me. And just to answer your question in a different way, I think meditation has been done sort of a disservice, because what started out, you know, centuries ago has now kind of been convoluted into this cliche that you have to sit on top of a mountain in Tibet in a lotus position, or you have to be in a quiet, dark room 20 minutes twice a day. I don't think many people can do that, nor should they be, you know, sort of expected to do that. So what we've been working with is how we can calm the mind in the midst of daily stress. There are super easy techniques or videos that you can watch that can have this positive effect without you having to make the effort of meditating.
Yeah. So Tamara, were you used to meditating before this event happened? Was this just an extension of what you were doing?
It was, for me, it was the meditation part, the end of the yoga. I had been doing yoga for years, and it was that meditation piece at the end of the practice. But there's no question that the more you practice, the easier it gets, because your mind literally becomes addicted to that feel-good feeling you get when you've calmed the mind, quieted the mind. But that doesn't mean that you can't start right in the smack in the middle of a, let's say, like a medical crisis like cancer. You can start anytime and still get positive benefits and result from it. So don't have it be the excuse not to do it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So how were you using meditation at this time? How did it become part of your everyday?
You mean after the diagnosis?
Yeah.
So I would say there were two main things that I was doing, because I had a very, very busy schedule. I was still seeing my psychotherapy clients, my coaching clients, plus running to the infusion center almost every day, picking up my son from school and making sure he's got the doctors right. It was very busy schedule. But what I would do during that time was either one of two things. One, it was gratitude. I would stay focused on what I was grateful for. If I found myself starting to ruminate about what was scaring me, you know, like, gee, I hope, you know, I wonder if David's going to make it. Did we catch it soon? And, you know, then I'd recognize, ooh, boy, that's interesting. Okay, what am I grateful for? That was one. The other was, which is very much what the tips that we want to give for everybody, is that every moment of your day is an opportunity to quiet the mind. So I would do things like the dishes, and I would focus on the temperature of the water as it was running over my hands, or how the soap felt as they were getting sudsy, or as I'm driving to the hospital, you know, what the steering wheel, how it felt in my hands, and was it cool? Was it warm? You know, the texture. And I would kind of go down this list, you know, temperature, you know, the texture, is it smooth, is it rough, the colors, what am I seeing, what am I experiencing in this moment? Every time it really worked to calm down the monkey mind.
Yeah, I sometimes, you know, I say that to clients, that it's really good to have little rituals during the day. Like when I get up, I make this makes me sound so middle class and English. I make my matcha latte with my oat milk in the morning, and it probably takes me about 10 minutes to make it.
Yeah.
But that's 10 minutes when I'm absorbed in that, you know, where I'm sipping the matcha and frothing the milk and whisking the matcha, you know, as they do in Japan, you have to whisk it up. Having little rituals, instead of thinking, I know what I'll do, I'll make myself a cup of tea, and you boil the kettle and stick a tea bag in a mug and you think you've relaxed, and of course you haven't. Whereas if you took time and you've got a nice teapot out and you've got some tea leaves and you had a strainer and a nice cup and saucer, you've developed a little ritual, and actually now it just feels a lot better. So absolutely, there are any number of moments during the day when we can come back to the present and do a bit of breathing.
Yes, and I think you're touching on kind of using our senses to have a sensory experience that can make us more present and slow down. Our brains are running all the time, and if we let them, they'll just continue to do that. So some people like using essential oils that helps them to feel more grounded. But just the ritual, like you're saying about making tea, I had a similar experience yesterday making coffee. I've gotten into, you know, roasting it, grinding it, pouring it over through the funnel. And yesterday I was holding the funnel up, and I realized as the coffee dripped, it was playing a melody. I mean, each drop like played a different note. And I'm like, you know, I never slowed down enough to just take the time to recognize all these little things that are going on. And sometimes we're completely tuned out to it. And we can tune back in by just having that thing, that one thing that's kind of our grounding self-care ritual. Could be taking the walk in nature. Another example, this morning I was walking on the sidewalk in front of me. I saw a snail, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just stop and check out this snail, because now he's moving at a super slow pace, right? I'm like, he's going someplace, but like nowhere near as fast as I am. And so it was just like that thing to just stop, you know, and take that moment and just get curious about something miraculous that's happening right in front of you.
I could talk about this for hours, all the little moments during the day when you can suddenly become present. I remember working in an office in central London, and there was a courtyard, and it had lovely grey slate slabs on the courtyard, and they had a ginkgo biloba tree, and in the autumn it goes really yellow and you get those lovely fan-shaped leaves. And I came in one morning at 8 o'clock, and there was one of these on a grey slate, and it just looked beautiful. And I went up to my team, of course I'm the boss, so they're going to do what I say, and I say to this woman, come and have a look at this. And so she dutifully follows me out. I went, look at that. And she said, what am I looking at? I said, the leaf on the slate. And she went, I'm looking at a dead leaf. It's lovely, Pat. Thank you. You know, I had had a lovely moment with it, but it totally passed her by. So were you able to share any of these tips with your firefighter colleagues?
Yes, and we're in the midst of developing beyond that. Some of the things that I've done is adapted some of these meditation techniques specifically for first responders. And so you would think, well, if you're in the middle of an emergency or responding to an emergency, this, how are you going to meditate? What we do is we use some really simple environmental objects sometimes, like it could be a horizontal line. If we think of our brain when it's running, you know, like 100 miles an hour, is this like crazy static waveform. And then we find something that's horizontal. It could be a fence, could be a shelf, a window, the dashboard in the car, emergency responders. We have light bars. And just focus in on that horizontal line. Anybody can do this. And just think of that horizontal line as your brain's activity. And all of a sudden, you can feel it kind of downshift into this like quiet place for 1 second, maybe 15 seconds, maybe 30. But this is pretty effective, really simple things that anyone can do in the midst of stress.
Yeah, fantastic. And Tamara, how about for caregivers? Are you telling them the same things, you know, that tuning in, being present?
Well, the main thing I'm talking, yes. And what's that's included in what I talk to them about, self-care. So that may include the way that they talk to themselves. I mean, my goodness, they're breaking their backs for their loved ones, and they still feel guilty that they're not doing enough. And I'm like, what? So whenever I start like a support group meeting, I'll do like diaphragmatic breaths, you know, diaphragm breath, deep breathing. And then at the end, I'll say, okay, before you open your eyes, let's focus on something about yourself that you can acknowledge or be grateful for or happy about. You know, it's so important to acknowledge yourself and give yourself some kudos.
Yeah, and at menopause, women tend to get pretty harsh on themselves.
Ooh, boy, so yes.
Finding those things that are good, I mean, you know, all the things they're doing for other people, but spending some time on some self-care is just so important.
So important.
Yeah.
Move the body. I just saw my had a physical, an annual physical, and he said, I'm so glad you move your body every day, because that's so key for so many things for good health. Move the body. Yeah.
And you do some lovely exercises around moving the body. It's a shame we can't do that on here. But anyway, so we're going to the break. And after the break, we'll be talking about your top tip for caregivers, for cancer experiences, for menopausal women. We all want your top tips. We'll see you after the break.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And my guests today, Tamara Green and David Dashinger, and they have been sharing with us some of their approaches to reducing stress at dealing with cancer or being a caregiver, any of those roles that can be very stressful. So now I'm going to ask you for your top tip. What is your top tip for people who are stressed out?
Well, it's a hard one to pick the best or my favorite, but one that comes to mind, and we've used this a lot, is that, you know, we are all kind of energetic sponges. We're all very sensitive to the energy around us. And whether we are noticing it or not, we're interacting with people on an energetic level. And sometimes we're around a lot of intense energy, maybe negative energy, negative emotions. Sometimes we kind of take it on like it's ours. But the tip is, remember that it's not yours necessarily. And to realize when you're feeling something that, you know, you may have picked up from somebody else, to say, you know, who does this belong to? Is it mine? And if it's not, return it back to whoever it came from. These kinds of things, I think, are very important for building up, you might say, immunity, or just to remove some of the possibility that we're going to be so stressed that cancer is going to be, you know, our body's going to be more hospitable to something like cancer. We kind of want to do everything we can to kind of keep ourselves as, you know, immune and as strong as possible on an emotional, energetic level to, you know, keep cancer at bay.
I think that's really important, because when you're going through that kind of experience, you'll have been given options for treatment. Not everybody you know is going to agree with what path you take. It's their stuff. It's not your stuff. They might try and talk you around to their thing. They're causing you more stress than you wanted. They'll tell you about people they know who did that, and this is what happened. And, you know, they're coming from a loving place, but they're causing more stress than you needed. So separating yourself from other people's stuff, really important. Good tip. Tamara, have you got another top tip?
Yeah. So speaking of energy, we're operating from two different places at all times. It's either love or fear. If you're in fear, use a loving energy to cure the fear, because that's really the only thing that cures fear is love. So a loving energy could be understanding, compassion, you know, maybe self-compassion, curiosity, interests, gratitude, right? So one of the habits, you know, I'm thinking of two things at the same time. Where your mind goes is where energy goes, right? Yeah. So if you're afraid, you're letting it diffuse throughout your entire body. So what you can do then is say, okay, what can I use right now? All right, I need some compassion right now for myself. Yeah. So then you give yourself, you know, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be a human being on this planet, especially during COVID, but any other time too. And it's so hard to be a woman going through menopause. It's not easy. So how about I give myself a huge pat on the back for even getting myself up out of bed, you know, brushing my teeth, into the shower, dressed to start another day. That takes a lot of bravery. So give yourself a lot of compassion and kudos for doing this crazy thing we call human being existence every day.
Absolutely. It sounds like a small thing, but really we should be compassionate with ourselves and just reward ourselves in through our thoughts in for everything that we do. It's not been easy. And so my tip that I've picked up from you is it doesn't matter if you've never meditated before. It doesn't mean sitting down and having to be quiet and cross-legged. It could be making your cup of tea. It could be a quick walk in the garden. It could be doing the washing up and feeling the soap suds. It doesn't matter. There's no excuse not to do it. So you've got three tips for the price of one there. That's got to be a good deal, hasn't it? Now, the reason, apart from the fact that I love you, that I asked you on the show is because you're coming to the UK this month and you're going to be at the NEC in Birmingham. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we're super excited. This got pushed back a little bit due to COVID, but this is the, used to be called the European Oncology Convention. Now it's just called the Oncology Convention. And it runs alongside a couple of other medical conventions, which really focus on state-of-the-art treatment, research, science, and exhibitors who are coming together for this particular convention. It runs 2 days in September, the 15th and the 16th of September at the NEC, as you said. And we'll be there with our booth. We're going to definitely highlight some of our We'll highlight our book for sure. Yeah, a book is definitely part of that. And we are also going to be highlighting some of our video products, which the newest one being called Mental Hope. And that is a series of 5 to 7 minute, we'll call them meditations, but they're really just like little cinematic gems, which take people on a quick journey. You could watch it anytime, any place. And we're rolling them out to underserved communities like prisoners who are incarcerated, the veterans from the Army in the U.S., women who are abused, some Latin American organizations. We have Spanish versions. So that's kind of what we're going to do at the convention.
Yeah, it's fun with the other exhibitors and the audience that's walking around. They just come to our booth and they really chill out. Sometimes they don't want to leave. They're so chill.
They've been sitting through these lectures and, you know, it's all very sort of proper and scientific and we like to offer something a little different.
Yeah, it's
They've
fun.
Probably been looking at pictures of tumors and equipment and then they come to you and they see lovely images and hear nice sounds and I can understand that they don't want to leave. Tell us a bit about your app.
Go ahead, hon. You're good. You're great at this.
In the end of our cancer journey, we realized that, again, because there's so much downtime, that we could offer, you know, what we do, our meditations and other, Pat, you're featured on there as well, doing some of your amazing hypnosis for hot flashes. And so we brought together amazing collaborators like you, Pat, and other people that we know around the world to kind of express what they do in a powerful way. It's probably 95% of it is not cancer specific. Anybody could benefit from it, but it's a mobile app on Apple and Android platforms. And you can go to comcancerstress.com to find out more.
Yeah, and it's the Loving Meditations app, and it's got beautiful graphics and sounds, and it's a beautiful app. Well done, you guys. You've done such an amazing job with it. And you've got a giveaway for listeners.
Yep. I think you have the link. Hopefully you can share that with your audience. We'd like to offer a free month of premium subscription to the app, which means total access to everything that's on there. There's dozens and dozens of activations, meditations, guided meditations, and with kind of an immersive experience with video and music. And we invite your audience to come check it out.
But one of the things I have to say, Pat, as you know, David's a little modest. So David is a two-time Grammy-nominated composer and engineer. The music is off the charts, exceptional, yeah. Plus his video, his ability, you know, the photos and the editing and how it all comes together. It really is a cinematic. Each one is like a little cinematic gem, as he puts it. So
yeah, so check it out. It's, you know, for caregivers, for people experiencing illnesses. It's fabulous. I'm very quickly going to flash your book again, Farm with Cancer and
as
beyond.
Long as that's the only kind of flashing you do.
Thank you so much, David and Tamara. You've been amazing guests. I'm really looking forward to seeing you here in the UK. Remember, NEC Birmingham, 16th and 17th of September. And a final thing, Hot Women Cool Solutions. We started with the books. If you need more help with your menopause symptoms, Hot Women Cool Solutions by Pat Duckworth. I can't recommend it highly enough. So, stay tuned to talkradio.nyc because the next show is the Reverend Dr. TLC talking about dismantle racism, such powerful shows that she does. And I look forward to seeing you next week when I have the next amazing guest on the Hot Women Rock radio show. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hello.
Yay.
Wait.
Don't forget. Thank you, guys.
How
loved it.
Oh, you're just a wonderful.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern, on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.